Personal branding, what exactly does that entail? How can people and the organizations they represent benefit from having strong personal brands? To get some answers, I've had a chat with Jennifer Holloway, who makes a living out of encouraging people in business to blow their own trumpets. Hey Sans, Vaisan, how is it going? You've tuned in to the Link Humans podcast, hosted by yours truly, Jorgen Sundberg. And this podcast is where I speak to people in organizations that link humans with innovation and technology. Would you believe it is September 2016 already? And are you keen on a nice day out in London in November? A perfect time for a shopping trip, perhaps? I've got just a ticket for you. It's called SM London Live 2016. For the third year running, where our full day event is returning, and it's happening on the 9th of November at Bounce in Holborn, which is the home of ping pong. So you're sure to have a ball. I've said that before, but still rings true. We'll be welcoming 10 of the best social and digital speakers to fill you with tips, tricks, and takeaways. And let's not forget that it's the perfect opportunity to put your personal brand to work before, during, and after the actual event. If you're in the industry, you don't want to miss out. So the important bit here, have you got your tickets? Probably not. Super early bird tickets are available right now at socialmedialondon.co.uk. So that gives you a 30% discount, and that's as cheap as it will get. Extremely limited there. So I hope to see you on the 9th of November. And PS, use the promo code PODCAST for a further 10% discount. Just don't tell anyone. With that, it's time to patch in Yorkshire and talk personal branding. Jennifer Holloway, how are you doing?
I'm incredibly well, thank you.
Fantastic. Now tell us about what you do.
Well, I sum it up as I help people in business to blow their own trumpets without sounding like idiots. And that last bit, although it sounds flippant, is actually very important, because often what scares people about personal brand is actually sounding arrogant. So it's helping people understand that personal brand, my specialism, is not rocket science. There's nothing fancy in it. It is for everybody in business. And actually, it's that thing that can really be making the difference in your career or your staff making the difference to your company.
And the term personal brand, how do people perceive it? I know some people have they hesitate when they hear the word brand and they feel, I'm not really a brand.
Yes, I get a lot of, I don't want to become a brand, I want to be me. And I have the great joy of saying, but that's the whole point. It's to be you, but to be you in a very clear way, a very concise way, and be all the best bits, have the real focus on those. So what I tend to say to people is, think of a personal brand as when you are out there, people buy people is a phrase that's often used, and what they're buying is a personal brand. So it does two things. It has to tell people what you're offering, and that might be what knowledge you have, what experience you've got, what results you've delivered. But they also want to know who is bringing that what to the table. So who are you? What are your values? What motivates you? What's your personality like? And all personal brand does is it brings those two things together in one nice, clear package that people can easily understand, and therefore decide if they want to buy. I should stress that it's not about getting a brand that everybody will love, because that's not possible. It's about authentically replicating yourself so that people that it appeals to can buy it quickly, and people it doesn't appeal to, they can decide to walk away.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. And I get personal branding from the individual's perspective. It can be really powerful. But what are the benefits to organizations?
Okay, so a lot of organizations sort of shy away from letting our staff have their own brand, you know, be individuals. And I think it's a rather short-sighted, because actually, if you can allow your staff to have a brand, to get known in the market, to have connections, have networks, you know, that they can really work, that's going to enable them to do their job easier. You know, if a problem comes up or they need an answer to something, having got themselves out there, raised their profile, you know, made this network, they, you know, they're much more resourceful than they might be if they just have to sit at their desk and nobody knows who they are. And it doesn't even have to be a network outside of an organization. You know, using your brand to raise your profile within an organization and people getting to know each other better, knowing exactly what your strengths are, thinking, oh, great, I'll go to you the next time I need X, Y, and Z. For an organization, that has to be beneficial.
And okay, I agree with that. But is there a danger that people with strong personal brands within organizations could sometimes have their own agendas and as opposed to the companies? And this might be a bit old school thinking, but how would you overcome an issue like that?
Organizations can sometimes be scared of people with strong brands, you know, thinking, oh, you know, we don't want anyone to really stand out. We don't want anyone to have their own personality. In fact, actually, years ago, someone said to me about one of the main consulting companies, I won't name them, but they said they worked for over 20 years. And they said, you are not allowed to be individual. You have to be a clone that represents that organization in the outside world. So that's fine. And if you are that sort of person that doesn't bother you, you will love working for that organization. But I think they're missing a trick, because actually organizations can benefit from someone with a strong brand, with a high profile, with a good network, because they're the people people's eyes are on them. You know, the business can flow in through them. So, you know, there is a plus and there is a minus to it, though, because if they leave, you could end up, you know, high and dry.
Right. Okay. So when you go into an organization and, I don't know, you deliver a personal branding, let's say a module in a part of a talent development program, what does it look like? Talk us through the steps.
Okay. So whether I'm working with people on their brand within an organization, sometimes it's at graduate level, sometimes it's at, as you say, talent level, sometimes at exec level, the steps that I take people through are exactly the same. The first step is defining the brand, because getting that clarity, really understanding in depth the who and the what that you're putting in the package needs to be the first part. So that is very important. And I tend to find that within organizations, the people who come on the courses, I've actually had the feedback from people saying, wow, they came out with a lot more confidence. So just understanding yourself is quite a nice thing. So the second thing I do is I get people to check their brand, by which I mean to get some feedback and find out if how they have perceived themselves in step one is how other people are seeing them. And I find this can be a real wake up and smell the coffee moment, particularly when I work with people one to one and that report's very in depth. Often where organizations have benefited is maybe they've had someone who hasn't realized the negative impact they've been creating. And, you know, the real payback for the company is that person's suddenly gone, oh, okay, now I see it, which is very important. On the whole, though, people actually get a complete confidence boost from the feedback, because people are reiterating, yes, what you think is good is what we think is good. And then the third step is always then, how do people promote their brands? Now, depending on what my clients are telling me about the audience in front of me, that will be tailored to, you know, maybe at graduate level, the real basics of how you look, you know, things like timekeeping, things like the language in your emails. At a talent level, it's a bit more about getting out there as leaders, getting more buy-in, you know, and then at an executive level, it's very much understanding impact, how they come over and how to improve that. So the three stages are exactly the same regardless. It's more sort of tailored according to what you want the output to be.
Great. Okay. And I guess we've discussed some of these already, but where do you see organizations and even people, where do they get it wrong? Where do they get personal branding wrong?
I think the misunderstanding in some people, whether it's individuals or organizations, is, oh, I don't have a brand. I'll choose whether I'm going to have a brand. The point is, you already have one. You know, the famous Jeff Bezos, the guy that founded Amazon, has the this quote, your brand's what people say about you when you're not in the room. Now, whether you have chosen to or not, everybody will have a thought that they will say when you're not in the room, you know, and even in the outside business community, it tends not to be companies as a whole that are being talked about. It is individuals within the company. So years ago, Burson Marsteller is a research agency, and they did a study internationally, and they came up with a statistic that said 50% of a company's reputation is directly linked to the CEO's reputation. So you could have the best service or the best product going, but if people out there think the person in the top office is a complete idiot, that will have an impact on your brand. And conversely, if they think they've got a really great reputation, that will have an impact on your brand. So, you know, you take someone like Richard Branson. I think when it comes to personal branding, a lot of people, whether they like him or not, will agree he is very good at putting his own personal brand with the Virgin brand. And actually, Virgin has failed on many, many occasions, but people still have this positive view of him that tends to taint a positive view onto the company.
Yeah, I mean, I think Richard Branson is probably, to me, he's like the grand master of personal branding, whether he knows it or not.
I mean, I used to do media relations. I used to work with journalists. And I remember a journalist saying to me about Richard Branson, you know, he said, the thing about Richard Branson, he's very good at meeting people, you know, seeing them face to face. And he said, as a journalist, if I have to write a bad story about Virgin, it's a lot harder to really put the boot in when you've met someone, when they, you know, they've built rapport with you, than it is where you're writing about a company where you have no idea what the CEO is like because they're completely faceless. So, you know, there is a really black and white example of how that works.
That's interesting. Yeah, I know a BBC journalist who got a complimentary first class Virgin Atlantic flight once. So, I can imagine he was in
it. He's not daft, Richard Branson. Yeah. He really isn't. No.
Fair enough. Okay, so what social media channels are most important to personal branding? Where do you see people getting results?
I would say it very much depends on who your audience is.
Yeah.
In the main, though, if you are in business and your audience is in business, the number one place you should be is LinkedIn. Now, years ago, LinkedIn was only ever seen as, oh, Jennifer, you only go on that if you want to find a job. I do think that was true then. It was started by recruiters with recruitment in mind. Nowadays, though, I'm going to quote someone who even said to me, Jennifer, if I go looking for someone on LinkedIn and they're not there, I just presume they don't exist. Now, that's quite a flippant comment, but I think there's a grain of truth in it, which is, at the very least, people in business expect, from a credibility point of view, to be able to find you online. And LinkedIn is where they expect to find you. And even from a Google results point of view, that having a profile will get you in the results.
Yeah, I think that's a bare minimum for me as well.
So Twitter's another place that people, you know, social media, they can be on it. I always say to people, have a reason to be on it. Don't just do it for the sake of doing it. So my reason is, you know, sort of threefold. Number one, I use it to, you know, help share information about stuff I'm doing, particularly my blogs that I've posted. The second thing I do is I sort of keep an eye on some of my key connections. What are they up to? And then use tweets as a way of, you know, conversing with them and staying on their radar. So it can be quite time effective in that way.
Great. And ROI. So on this podcast, I always like to ask about return on investment. Is there a way to measure ROI on a personal brand? And what results have you seen from people you work with?
I don't believe there's a blatantly obvious way of measuring ROI unless you have a very sort of specific measurable goal at the start of the work you're doing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I work with people, say if I use the example of maybe an executive I've been asked to work with, and something I get quite often is, Jennifer, this guy needs more gravitas. We want you to work with him. Now, how am I going to measure an increase in gravitas? Very difficult to do. But if you could at least pin down, you know, he's going to get more buy-in in these meetings, or he's going to be able to deliver this particular project or whatever it is. Less about ROI in terms of money, but just more in terms of, do we feel that this money spent has given us results at a very straightforward yes or no level. I mean, if you did take it a bit further in other organizations, though, you know, someone's personal brand, using that to get new business, you can directly show that they raised their profile in an industry, and because of that, a new client came on board, you could then show some ROI with the value of that business. But I think that it's more just a case of just a general, is the person more confident? Are they coming across more positively? And are more people buying into them or buying into them more deeply?
Yeah, okay. And if we look at a familiar brand, brand Jennifer Holloway, how do you manage that and how do you promote yourself?
So for me, and I was discussing with this with someone just this morning, it's all about consistency. So when I manage my brand, what I always have in mind is, what is my brand, and whatever I'm putting out there, is that representing it? So does this tweet give a clue to my brand? Does this LinkedIn post give a clue to my brand? You know, this email, does that sound like me? When I stand up, what outfit I'm wearing, is that giving clues to my brand? And it's all about creating a comprehensive sort of image out there, and people getting a very clear and very concise, ah, yes, Jennifer, I know exactly what she's all about. My book that I wrote, Personal Branding for Brits, happy to say it's number one on Amazon for the subject, also goes a long way to helping my name get out there. And also the presentations I do when it comes to promoting my brand, I've had people come back to me. Last week I had a woman who said she saw me 2 or 3 years ago do a presentation. I'd totally stuck in her head, and now her organization needs brand, so she's come back to me. So it's about making sure if you get your brand out there, it can be memorable.
Great. So a fantastic example of personal branding. Now, are there personal brands out in the corporate space? So we've got Jennifer Holloway, we've got Richard Branson. Can you think of anyone else that we should check out?
Yeah, I think that if you really want to see a personal brand in the corporate space, just think of, what are the organizations, you know, big corporates, and I actually know who their CEO is. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's the measure of a corporate brand, a personal brand. So something like Apple, obviously, when they had Steve Jobs, you know, he was as big as the Apple brand. You know, even in this country, I mean, I think back when I hear the words M&S, I still associate it with Stuart Rose, someone like Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump has numerous, you know, business failures behind him, but he is still very much seen as a successful business person because he gets himself out there and portrays that. So I think anyone where they're really good at being seen as a figurehead is using their brand in a positive way in the corporate space, whether they're leading a great business or not, the use of the brand is still positive.
Great. Okay. Now, personal branding is can sometimes be a little bit confusing. There's lots of terminology, lots of concepts flying around. So I've got a little quiz for you, Jennifer. Okay. So I just want some quick answers here. So just definitions of these terms. I've got 7 of them. First one is, okay, it's personal brand.
Okay. Personal brand, as I said before, that is an individual's what and who they are selling wrapped up in one brand.
Number 2 is professional brand.
Now, professional brand to me is purely that personal brand in a professional space. So it's the same thing, but maybe with a bit more emphasis on the what are you delivering in a corporate world.
Number 3 is personality brand.
A personality brand for me is where, this is a bit more, it could also tie in with a celebrity brand, where someone is very much putting their personality out there. I mean, it tends to be used with companies. So something like Innocent Smoothies is a personality brand. Technically, it's a product, but it has a personality to it. And I think celebrities in some ways do the same thing, in as much as technically I'm a celebrity, but I'm treating myself as a product. So I think the two sort of interchange.
Okay. Number 4 is thought leader.
This to me is someone who is getting themselves out there as a go-to person for a particular subject. So they are really saying, for this thing, that is what I'm pinning myself out there as.
Is that kind of similar to a personal brand then?
I think that it's much more subject matter for me, thought leader. So I would consider myself, well, a thought leader in the personal brand space. You know, someone might be a thought leader in the risk analysis space. Someone might be a thought leader in the, you know, online marketing space. So the thought leaders, though, are the people who are trying to get themselves out there as, I'm someone who should be listened to because I've got opinions and ideas about this particular sector.
Okay. Then number five is influencer.
Possibly going hand in hand with the thought leader. You know, the influencer is someone who has a brand, you know, they created a brand as, I'm someone to listen to, and often going back to the thought leader in a certain space.
Okay, number six is image.
Image for me is, think of it as the packaging of your own personal brand. It's what you're doing, what you're saying, and how you're looking, and specifically what clues that is telling people that they can pick up on to decide what sort of brand you have.
Okay, final one, number seven is celebrity.
Well, celebrity, I mentioned before, the celebrity brand are the people out there who are very much leveraging themselves as, I am more than just a person. So someone, you know, the Kardashians are probably the biggest celebrity brand out there at the moment. They can just put their name to something, and purely because of that, that is worth money. And they're very good at keeping their profile out there and feeding the media with information about them and their brand to keep people interested.
Great. Okay. Right. So final question. What's the next big thing for personal branding?
Well, I'm actually, at a very basic corporate level, I think it's going to be just that, much like years ago, coaching, some organizations did it, but a lot of people were going, oh, coaching, that's a bit new wave, a bit different. For me, I think it's just going to be personal brand will become like coaching is now, which is just a totally accepted part of corporate life. So I think that, is that the next big thing? I think it's probably more of a slow burn. In terms of not necessarily a big thing, but I wonder if we might go the way that a lot of Americans have gone, though, and even take personal branding, though, to people starting to have individual websites for themselves. You know, there's a lot of things out there like about me and stuff like that, where you can put individual pages. You know, that's particularly a service. But I just wonder if people will start to do a bit more of the, here's my domain name, here's my life on a website that I'm totally in control of. And I just wonder, will we start doing that a bit more?
Yeah. Okay, great. Where can our listeners learn more about yourself? Where can they buy the book, and how can they connect with you?
Well, the book, just go on Amazon and either put in my name, Jennifer Holloway, or just put in personal branding, and you'll see it's called Personal Branding for Brits. I should stress it's not just for British people. Essentially, it's personal branding for non-Americans, because when I looked at the market, there were loads of books by Americans for the American culture, which is very different from a lot of the European cultures. So you can find that there. My website is www.jennifer-holloway.co.uk. And I have a blog on there that I put new postings on every fortnight. I'm easily found on LinkedIn. So luckily there's only the only other Jennifer Holloway who's famous is an opera singer. So I think you'll be able to determine with a quick Google which one's me and which one's her.
Okay. Great. Thank you very much for your time, Jennifer.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. I hope you got a lot out of that interview with Jennifer. I actually forgot to ask her about her bees. She's actually a very keen beekeeper. And I'll let you use that as an intro question to her when you connect on LinkedIn instead. Everything that Jennifer talked about will be in the show notes article. Have a look at linkhumans.com/podcast. You'll find this article and previous ones on there. And also, would you like to be featured on this podcast, just like Jennifer? Would you like to partner up on a nice piece of content? This podcast is available where all fine podcast audio is available: Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, other places. And of course, write up articles to syndicates of five sites, as you may have seen. Do you want a piece of the action? Get in touch for a full media kit. Just email me at jorgen@linkhumans.com and we'll take it from there. And also make sure that you subscribe to the podcast, especially in iTunes. If you feel like it, if you like the content, feel free to write a nice little review, or at least an honest review. And also, when you do subscribe, please let me know so I can thank you personally. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I will catch you next week.
My husband and I have been rowing recently about where we're going to go on holiday. Me, I want to fly somewhere exotic. I want to lie on a beach and I want to stay in a 5-star hotel. Him, well, he wants to come with me.